Krishna, everyone. Welcome back to the daily readings of Srila Prabhupada's books right here in the live studios, Hive, Kent, Southeast England, just in a little distant vision of the English Channel on this auspicious day of the appearance of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And I want to read to you some of the aphorisms that he spoke just before, in the last year, before he passed away, for our edification and inspiration. But before we do that, we're going to read the Srimad Bhagavata Mahima Stotram, which is a five-verse stotra written by Srila Sanatan Goswami as a part of his book, the Sri Krishna Lila Stava, which is a vocative, simple description of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan leading up to Kamsa's death, killing of Kamsa. And at the end of it, he glorifies Srimad Bhagavatam in these verses. It goes like this. Sarva Shastrabdi Piyusha Sarva Vedaika Satpala Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadya Sarva Lokaika Drik Prada. O nectar from the ocean of all scriptures, singular fruit of all the Vedas, rich mine of the precious gems of all conclusive truths, you are the only giver of sight to all the worlds. Sarva Bhagavata Prana Srimad Bhagavata Prabho Kali Dvandutita Ditya Sri Krishna Parivartita. O life heir of all the Supreme Lord's devotees, O Master Srimad Bhagavatam, you are the sun risen in the darkness of Kali. You are the exact image of Sri Krishna. Paramananda Pataya Prema Varshakshadayate Sarvada Savasevyaya Sri Krishnaya Namostume. I bow down to you who is supremely blissful to read. Your every syllable pours down a flood of prema. You can always be served by everyone. You are Sri Krishna himself. Madeka Bando Matsangin Madguru Man Mahadana Manishtadagamad Bhagya Mad Ananda Namostute. My only friend, my constant companion, my spiritual master, my great wealth, my savior, my good fortune, my source of ecstasy, I bow down to you. Asadu saduta dayan adini chuchita kada hanamun chagada chinmam premna rit kantayospuda. O bestower of saintliness to the unsaintly, O exalter of the most fallen, please never leave me. Always appear in my heart and my voice with pure love. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this being the holy appearance of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I will read some words of his that he spoke during the last year of his time with us. Do not give up the worship of Hari, even amidst hundreds of dangers, hundreds of insults, or hundreds of persecutions. Do not become unenthusiastic upon seeing that the majority of people in this world are not accepting the message of Krishna's sincere worship. They are your own personal worship and your very all in all. Never give up the audition and glorification of the topics of Krishna. They are your own personal worship. and your very all in all, being humble like a blade of grass and patient like a tree, constantly glorify Hari. We are nurturing a desire to dedicate this good-for-nothing body in the Sankirtan sacrifice of Sri Krishna Chaitanya and his associates. We are not at all desirous of any heroism in fruitive actions or religion, but our real condition is to be the dust at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa Prabhu, birth after birth. This is our all in all. The line of Bhakti Vinod will never be closed. With even more enthusiasm, you should become engaged in preaching the desire of Bhakti Vinod's heart. Amongst you, there are many capable and accomplished men. We have no other desire at all. These are our only words. Taking a blade of grass between my teeth, I fall down and again pray that I may become the dust of the feet of Sri Madrupa, birth after birth. There are various types of inconveniences while staying in this world, but there is no need for us to become extremely afflicted by these inconveniences or to try to dispel these inconveniences. While staying here, it is necessary for us to gain an introduction to what our eternal life will be and to what entity we will attain to after all these inconveniences have been removed. Here, it is compulsory to make decisions about all those objects which attract and repel us in various ways, both that which I want and do not want. We will be drawn by the attractions and repulsions of this place to the same degree as the amount of intervening distance there is between us and the lotus feet of Krishna. When we go beyond the attractions and repulsions of this world and are attracted by the transcendental name, then the topics about the mellow of service to Krishna can be understood. At the present time, the topics about Krishna are greatly startling and perplexing. Adventitious occurrences are obstructing our eternally needed realization. To eliminate these, everyone who holds the name of a human being is more or less consciously or unconsciously engaged in a struggle. To enter into that eternally needed kingdom beyond all duality is our only necessity. In this world, we do not have any attachment or aversion towards anybody. All the arrangements of this world are momentary. That supreme desideratum is indispensably necessary for every single person. May all of you, with one aim and in a single voice, attain the right of serving the original Ashraya Vigraha. May the flow of thought of Sri Rupa's followers stream over the world. May we never, in any condition whatsoever, show aversion to the sacrifice of chanting the seven-tongued Sankirtan of Sri Krishna. If there is ever increasing attachment for this, perfection on all sides will be achieved. May all of you, by the earnest pursuance of Sri Rupa's followers, preach the words of Sri Rupa Raghunath in a fearless voice with supreme enthusiasm. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay, we're back to the haven, and we're on the second chapter of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. We're hearing about the journey of a Brahmana from Mathura who moved to Assam, and he was materialistic, but he was attached to the deity Kamakya, which is a very famous deity of Durga in Jagotishpur. And he received from, in a dream, he received from that deity a mantra, the Gopal mantra, which is very unusual that the Durga deity should give in a dream the Gopal mantra to anyone. But later on, we're going to find out that it was Srimati Radharani herself speaking through that deity, because Durga is an expansion of Srimati Radharani. So now the Brahmana has taken that mantra and he's going from one place to another, trying to follow the instructions of the deity Durga and her husband Shiva, who also appeared to him in a dream, to encourage him to keep going, because he was materialistic, but he was getting some benefit. He felt some benefit from the chanting of the mantra. And so he went different places after Lord Shiva told him to go to Vrindavan. And on the way to Vrindavan, he's now been told in Benares, where he met some sannyasis, and now he's going to go to Vrindavan on the order of his of Durga and Shiva. We're starting on text 86, chapter 2, part 2. Thus the Brahmana arose early in the morning and happily set out on his journey. Gradually he came to blessed Madhupuri and bathed at Vishranti Tirtha. Commentary. Obeying the Lord's order, the Brahmana at once started for Vrindavan. And when he entered the holy dham, he came first to Mathura city. Following the standard custom of pilgrims, he first visited the bathing place on the Yamuna, known as Vishranti Tirtha, Vishram Ghat. Text 87. He went on to Vrindavan, and there felt enlivened at every moment, for while chanting his mantra, he saw in meditation most of the companions and surroundings from Krishna's pastimes. Commentary. He saw Krishna's supremely beautiful cows, cowherds, kadamba trees, and so on, which, although famous, are beyond the power of unqualified people to describe. Text 88. He wandered here and there in that cow-adorned land without meeting any people, but at one place on the eastern side of Keshi Tirtha, he heard someone crying. Commentary. At the holy place where Krishna had once killed the horse demon Keshi, the Brahmana met the first human being he was able to encounter in Vrindavan. This sacred place, Keshi Tirtha, is described in the Mathura Mahatmya of the Varaha Purana, 152, 30, and 31. 100 times more sacred than the Ganga, O Goddess Earth, is the Yamuna in my own abode, Mathura. No one need doubt this. More sacred than Mathura by 100 times is the place on the Yamuna where the Keshi demon fell. And 100 times more sacred than the Keshi Tirtha is that spot nearby where Krishna rested after the demon was killed. Text 89. heading in the direction of that sound. He heard it mingled with constant Nam Sankirtan, performed in pure love. And so he looked for the person chanting. Commentary. From a distance, he recognized only the sound of crying, but as he approached, he heard the names of the Supreme Lord being sweetly chanted with great affection, with syllables drawn out long and melodious by someone whose heart seemed completely softened by love of God. He became intent upon finding the person chanting. Text 90. He entered a dense, dark forest where he couldn't see anyone, but he discerned the place from which the sound came, and he eagerly went there to the bank of the Yamuna. Commentary. So thick was the forest that the leaves of the trees left no space for the light of the sun to enter. The Brahmana saw no one, but could still hear the sound of Nam Sankirtan, which drew him further on. Text 91. There, in a grove of kadamba trees, he found a handsome young man whose body was very tender, with the dress and accoutrements of a cowherd. Commentary. The person the Brahmana discovered was dressed like a cowherd boy, with a flute, buffalo horn, and herding stick, and with a peacock feather on his head. Every part of his body appeared auspicious. Text 92. Mistaking this person for his worshipable deity, the Brahmana joyfully called out, "O Gopal," and fell to the ground like a rod to offer respects. Commentary. Because the cowherd sitting before the Brahmana was dressed and ornamented just like Madan Gopal, the Brahmana thought that this was the deity in person. The Brahmana wanted to offer a fitting salutation, so he at once fell flat on the ground and with spontaneous enthusiasm sweetly called out, "O Gopal." The offering of these three syllables, Gopala, was the way of properly honoring the Lord. Text 93 and 94. This young cowherd was the crest jewel of those who know everything. As the Brahmana regained external consciousness, the cowherd recognized him as a Mathura Brahmana living in the district of the goddess Kamakya and worshipping Srimad Madangopala. The cowherd then came out of the grove, raised the Brahmana, bowed down to him, embraced him, and made him sit down. Commentary. The cowherd knew without being told that his guest was a Brahmana who had traveled to Vrindavan from a long distance. More specifically, he knew that his visitor was the child of a Brahmana family of Mathura who had moved to the Kamarupa district of Assam to worship the presiding goddess Kamakya. Furthermore, the young cowherd knew that this Brahmana was now worshipping the lotus feet of Sriman Madan Gopala and had come for some special purpose of the Lord's. Actually, Sri Radha Devi had ordered the cowherd to go to the grove that morning, so he bowed down to this guest, raised him from the ground, embraced him, and invited him to sit down. Text 95. To further gain the Brahmana's confidence, the cowherd pleased him with hospitality and then smiled and revealed something about the Brahmana's life. Commentary. The young cowherd, Gopakumar, greeted his Brahmana guest in a manner befitting the time and place, and then briefly recounted what had happened in the Brahmana's life, beginning with his worship of the goddess Kamakya, in leading up to his coming to this place on the shore of the Yamuna. The cowherd expertly revealed things hidden in the Brahmana's heart that no one else could have known. Why did he do this? He wanted to win the Brahmana's trust so that the Brahmana would believe what he was about to be told. Otherwise, the Brahmana might be skeptical about Gopakumar's fantastic story. Text 96. That Brahmana now understood that this was a young cowherd boy and accepted him as if the boy were a dear friend. Happily trusting him, the Brahmana then recounted his own life story. Commentary. When the Brahmana understood that this was not his worshipable lord, but a cowherd with all good qualities, the Brahmana relaxed. Text 97. Then with great humility, considering this young child of the cowherds the best of wise men and a great saint, the Brahmana submissively added an inquiry. Text 98. The Brahmana said, "From various sources, I have heard of various goals and various methods to achieve them, but still, I cannot definitely decide what goal I should strive for and what I should do to reach it." Commentary. On the bank of the Ganga, at Kashi, and elsewhere, the Brahmana had heard various kinds of spiritual advice. He had heard in one place that heaven is the ultimate goal of life, and in another that liberation from the cycle of birth and death is the goal. And as for means of success, he had heard claims that karma was the means, or jnana, or other methods. No wonder he was confused. Text 99. "Whatever the goddess ordered me, I regularly do, but I have no idea about the results of those duties, nor even what kind of acts they are." Commentary. If the Brahmana did not know what the goal of his endeavor was and how he might achieve it, why was he continuing to chant his mantra? He was doing so because he had respect for the order of the goddess Kamakya. The little she had asked him to do, namely chant this mantra, was not much compared to the complex duties of householders and sannyasis that he had learned about from others. He continued chanting out of reverence for the goddess, not because he understood the essence of what he was doing. He was even unaware whether this chanting belonged to the category of ritual duties, cultivation of knowledge, or devotional service. Therefore, he thought, since his practice was not based on definite knowledge and faith, it had no real value for his spiritual advancement. Text 100. I therefore think my life worthless, and I simply want to die. I continue to live only by the mercy of Lord Madhava and Lord Shiva and his wife. Commentary. It was at Prayag that the Brahmana had reached this point of crisis in his spiritual life. There also, however, he had received the grace of Lord Vishnu in the form of Sri Madhava, and the Lord Vishweshwara and his wife Kamakya Devi, who had all appeared in dreams to give him guidance. Text 101. "Only by their mercy have I met you here today, a compassionate and all-knowing person. You are just like my worshipable deity, and I am very happy and satisfied to meet you. Now please, deliver this wretched soul." Commentary. At Prayag, the Brahmana received the mercy of Sri Madhava, Vishveshwara, and Kamakya, Devi. But only in Vrindavan could he understand the inestimable value of that mercy. Now he is confident that Gopakumar is as good as Lord Madan Gopal. In other words, Gopakumar's transcendental instructions can easily lift him out of the ocean of his doubts and out of the vast ocean of material existence. So we have many lessons to learn from this. How Gopakumar made the Brahmana feel comfortable in his presence. When we preach, we meet some for the first time. We should not just simply start haranguing him or her with Sanskrit slokas and unfamiliar ideas. We must gain their confidence by our own hospitality and our own openness and friendliness. Text 102. Sri Parikshit said, respectfully, having heard the Brahmana's words, the young cowherd thought, this person has done everything he needs to do. Indeed, his life is a complete success. Commentary. The word adara is usually understood to mean respect, but it can also mean affection. With respect for the Brahmana's status as a Mathura Brahmana, and with special affinity for him as a fellow worshipper of Sri Madan Gopal, Gopakumar heard him out. Text 102 and 108 through 108 describe Gopakumar's thoughtful concern for the Brahmana. Text 103. All that remains for him to achieve is to see directly the lotus feet of the Lord. He needs to become attached, not so much to the solitary chanting of the Lord's mantra, but to the sankirtan of his names. Commentary. When received by pancharatrik initiation in a Vaishnava sampradaya, Vishnu mantras deliver the chanter from illusion and provide him liberation and entrance into the divine life of devotional service. But the highest standard of pure love of God is obtainable not by the pancharatrika vidhi, but by the Bhagavat vidhi of Nam Sankirtan, worship of Krishna's names without material motives. The Pragjyotishpur Brahmana had been chanting the 10-syllable Gopal mantra for some time with good effect, but only after he heard the Shudanam from Gopakumar was he able to chant the same names of Lord Gopal in the perfect consciousness of Sankirtan. Offenseless Sankirtan, with concentrated attention, naturally develops into spontaneous attraction to Krishna and his loving service. Texts 104 and 105. Certainly, no means of perfection is superior to the worship of Sriman Madan Gopal's lotus feet. That worship yields results far beyond what one could expect. It should be performed mainly through Nam Sankirtan, along with reverence and affection for the many places of Sri Gopal's pastimes, places one should regularly visit. Commentary. How then had the Brahmana already made so much spiritual advancement? He had done so by worshipping Sri Krishna, although irregularly. He had been worshipping without the complete faith and understanding that come only from the special mercy of Krishna's pure devotees. But any contact with Krishna, the supreme goal of all existence, assures absolute perfection. And so also does any contact with his names. For hearing and chanting his names is the supreme method for attaining Krishna prema. Even offensive chanting of Krishna's names, if continued long enough, will free one from disqualifications. And even namabhas, offenseless chanting without real attachment, will quickly lead to liberation and the rise of transcendental attachment and taste. Shall I read this again? This is extremely important, what we just heard, with permission from the assembled sages. I will read it again. He had been worshipping without the complete faith and understanding that come only from the special mercy of Krishna's pure devotees. But any contact with Krishna, the supreme goal of all existence, assures absolute perfection. And so also does any contact with his names, for hearing and chanting his names is the supreme method for attaining Krishna prema. Even offensive chanting of Krishna's names, if continued long enough, will free one from disqualifications. And even namabhas, offenseless chanting without real attachment, will quickly lead to liberation and the rise of transcendental attachment and taste. Thus, for spiritual upliftment, there is no better practice than worship of the divine lotus feet of Lord Madan Gopala. In this verse, the Lord's feet are described as Sriman, indicating that they fully possess all types of wealth and splendor. They have the potency to satisfy all the heartfelt desires of a devotee and to delight him in ways unanticipated by his conscious and even on subconscious desires. The principal activity of this worship is sankirtan, chanting out loud in melodious song the Lord's names like Krishna, Govinda, and Gopala. Sri Parikshit further suggests that the effects of Harinam sankirtan are enhanced by visiting the sacred places in Brajabhumi, where Krishna enjoyed pastimes with his gopas and gopis. As much as other obligations in devotional service allow, Vaishnavas should wander about these places and see them with their own eyes. If they do this with love and respect, their nam bhajan will soon bear fruit. Text 106. And there is no better goal than this very worship, in which pure love of God appears, mocking the four lesser aims of life and bringing the Lord's lotus feet under one's control. Commentary. Religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation appear insignificant in comparison to Krishna prema. Only Krishna bhakti can bring the personality of Godhead under control. Sri Krishna Karshini Chasa, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 1.1.17, text 107. To bring him to this realization, first I must tell him my own history in full. That will clear away his doubts. Excuse me, 1 second. Commentary. The Brahmana needs to be informed that Krishna is the goal of his endeavors and that Nam Sankirtan is the means to achieve Krishna. But if Gopakumar were to say this from the start, the Brahmana, his mind ruled by doubts, and misconceptions might not grasp the full import of the advice. Therefore, to win the Brahmana's trust, Gopakumar first needs to describe his own experiences, beginning from when he also received the same Gopal mantra and continuing up to the present moment. That will drive away the Brahmana's doubts and wrong ideas. It will also allow the Brahmana to drink the nectar of Sri Bhagavat Katha, which will render his heart pure enough to assimilate the transcendental knowledge he requires. In fact, that knowledge should then manifest itself automatically, even without needing to be explicitly stated. Text 108. Describing one's own glories is disapproved by spiritual authorities, but nothing else I could say will bring about his good fortune. Commentary. As the saying goes, saprashangsat dhruvamrityu, self-praise is as good as death. Oh, Krishna. All the same, Gopakumar understands that nothing but his own story will dispel the Brahmana's doubts and give him tattva-gyan. Because Gopakumar used his mystic power to describe the Brahmana's past, the Brahmana is already inclined to believe him. So Gopakumar should not hesitate to tell his own story and thereby make the Brahmana fortunate, since his own story is very similar to that of the Brahmana and will drive away all his doubts. Sri Radha's order will then be quickly carried out, and what would ordinarily have been a breach of etiquette will be perfectly acceptable behavior. Text 109. Thus the saintly son of the cowherds made up his mind. He asked the Brahmana for his attention and began to speak about his own life, just as a sage versed in the Puranas would speak an epic. Commentary. Gopakumar spoke with great authority. Although he was just a young herdsman, anyone listening to him would think he was an ancient speaker of the Puranas, like Ramaharshan Sutta, or his son, Ugrashrava, or a seer of Vedic mantras, like the Rishi, Vamadeva. His narration was as authoritative as the Puranas, and fully in accord with all Shastras. The sage Devala has defined the characteristic of a Rishi. A Rishi is one whose semen flows upward, who is fierce in observing austere vows, who eats moderately, controls his senses, is able to curse and bless, and adheres firmly to the truth. Text 110. Sri Gopakumar said, "There are many relevant historical accounts, but I am going to tell you my own story, including recollections of what occurred at times when I was bewildered by ecstasy and other distractions." Commentary. There are many ancient historical accounts about what certain people did and said to one another that may be useful in explaining how to determine the best goal of life and the means to achieve it. These accounts are called itihasas, a text that consists of narrations of past events and includes instructions about religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation, is called an itihasa. Gopakumar's plan, however, is to tell his own history instead. Of all forms of evidence for establishing the truth, experience from one's own life is the strongest. Shall I repeat that? You wouldn't mind? Okay. Of all forms of evidence for establishing the truth, experience from one's own life is the strongest. Thus, when Gopur Kumar frankly reveals the events of his life, the Brahmana should be persuaded of the highest truth that Gopur Kumar has grasped. I can't tell you the number of times when I've given programs or lectures or something like that, classes, and at the end, when we ask for questions, the first question was, how did you come to Krishna consciousness? And then when I told my story, that sealed the deal. Many times, many times. That brings us to 8 o'clock, almost 2 minutes to 8. And I'm going to stop here. These are intense days for me, spending, you know, 4 or 5 hours and more sometimes in the recording booth, hearing the Chaitanya Charitamrita, every word carefully, and checking them to make sure that every word is correct. What's that?
There's some purport left.
Okay. Say that again?
There's still some purport left for this.
Oh, in the purport, that. Yes. Okay, we've got a new fax checker over here. His name is Sam Kishore, and he pointed out that there's more of the purport. Okay. Thus, when Gopur Kumar frankly reveals the events of his life, the Brahmana should be persuaded of the highest truth that Gopur Kumar has grasped. On occasion, Gopur Kumar was unaware of what was going on around him because the overflowing of his love for the Supreme Lord disturbed his external perception. Even so, by virtue of his advanced self-realization, he can now recollect even the details of events of which he was unconscious when they occurred. Many of these personal events are also too confidential to discuss freely in public, and Gopur Kumar may be somewhat embarrassed to mention them. He feels obliged, however, to do everything he can to help enlighten the Brahmana. As Gopur Kumar will tell the Brahmana in the last chapter of this book, just see, I have told you everything that happened to me and everything done by the Lord and his devotees, even that which is extremely confidential. Brihad Bhagavatamrita 274. So this is the great fortune we have to be able to hear this wonderful transcendental literature in that it is extremely confidential, and but because it's coming through the lips of Gopur Kumar, who is telling his own story, it's potent, very potent. Okay, so we'll stop here. It is exactly 8 o'clock now. By Shyam Kishore's grace, I was able to reach 8 o'clock by finishing Sanatana Goswami's purport, his commentary. Okay, we'll start with 111 tomorrow. Okay, Srila Bhakti. Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada Ki Jai. The same theme from all the acharyas and all the great souls. Same theme. Sankirtan. Done offenselessly with love and devotion and sharing that with others to bring them to the lotus feet of Krishna is the highest means and the most efficient way to gain entrance into the Lord's personal association. Hare Krishna. Is there any reflections and comments and discussions?
This is from Noel Craig Krabba.
Yeah, Bhakti Noel.
Hare Krishna, dear Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisance.
Hare Krishna, Bhakti Noel.
So nice to be with you on the appearance day of Srila Bhakti Sananta Sarasvati Thakur. I'm very grateful for his courageous preaching that led me here to you today. What a gift to us all. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to his guru and our Paramaguru, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada.
This is from Stefano Rampoldi.
Stefano, this is from Italy.
The story of Gopal Kumar is not a fiction. It has really happened?
Yes, it really happened.
This is from Braj Vallabha.
But even if it was a story told by Sanatana Goswami, it is as good as having it happened. But it happened.
That's from Braj Vallabha.
Yes, Braj, Haribo.
You mentioned his name, so it's easier for me, thank you. I just wanted to comment how interesting. Hare Krishna, Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. I just wanted to comment how interesting it was when the impersonalist met the devotees from yesterday's readings.
Yes, it is. Because Nam Sankirtan and the glories of the teachings of the Supreme Lord and his pure devotees are so powerful, so potent, that they can even uplift impersonalists. Especially if the impersonalists are innocent and not Mayavadis. If they're Brahmavadis and have realized spiritual life but not the Supreme Person yet, but are innocent, when they come in contact with the Supreme Lord through his pure devotees, they also can become devotees. And that's the purpose of the Sankirtan movement, to find those persons and bring them back to reality. Hare Krishna. And if we take it up, then all impediments will be removed from our path by the grace of the holy name and our spiritual masters. Hare Krishna.
From Vamshi Vilas Prabhu.
Vamshi Vilas, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, the results the Brahman obtained from his chanting, such as seeing Gopal, are a little surprising when compared to the gradual development we usually see happening for devotees nowadays. Is there a particular reason for his attaining such results, even in the beginning?
It's the same with us. It's not different. It's just we can't see it. When a person is neophyte, then he doesn't exhibit the symptoms of one who is advancing. But he is advancing, even when he's new. And we're also in that position. We're advancing by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, especially if we've received it from a devotee who's received it from Prabhupada and so on, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, all the way back to Lord Chaitanya. So it's not different. Everyone who's chanting the Hare Krishna mantra is making spiritual advancement, even though externally you can't see it so much. Therefore, when he walked up to the devotees doing this kirtan in Benares or Hardwar or someplace, he made fun of them, you know, and he showed, you know, obvious signs of a person who didn't understand. But because he was chanting the mantra innocently but faithfully, he was making advancement. As we do when we chant innocently and faithfully. So it's not that the name is, you know, efficient for some and not for others. It's efficient for everyone. It's just that we may not be able to exhibit the external features of one advanced in Krishna consciousness in the beginning. That's all. Hare Krishna.
From Gauranga Gopal Prabhu.
Thank you so much for this blissful reading. Today I was listening to our new podcast called The Welsh Yogi Podcast.
The Welsh Yogi Podcast. Hare Krishna.
And Tarkanath Prabhu was sharing his own story of how he came to Krishna consciousness. Oh.
He's blissful, Tarkanath.
As you say, these types of stories close the deal.
Yes, exactly.
It inspires aspiring devotees like me to keep progressing on this path, knowing that exalted devotees went through same difficulties and so on. I like also how preaching and bringing people close to Krishna is a higher principle over the etiquette of not talking about oneself.
Exactly. Exactly. That is the supreme humility that you're willing. I realize this to a certain extent when I started Initiation Disciples, because the first time I had to sit down and have a puja, to, you know, guru puja to me, it was unbearable. I just closed my eyes and I kept praying, "Oh Prabhupada, I know that this is just for you. You know this is just for you. So please let me not become, you know, puffed up. Let me not believe it." And so I did that for about that one and the next one. And then I don't know what it was. I can't remember what happened. But at one point, I opened my eyes and I saw the eyes of the devotees and how they were giving me this love and affection. And I understood that it's my duty to give back. So I started opening my eyes and looking at them and thanking them for their praise and for their gifts and all of that. And it became something wonderful, something amazing by the reciprocation.
Rati Manjari.
Harivu Rati.
Dear Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. As I was listening to you tonight, I once again felt inner joy and gratitude that all of us have the good fortune of having your association night after night after night, reading this confidential scripture to us. I thought to myself how simply by your faithful recitation you are uplifting all of our lives and making this such happy, happy times. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for that reciprocation. Everyone needs encouragement. That was very encouraging. Thank you. I thank you all very much for being very sensitive. Like I said, and I will be saying probably for some days, it's very intense. Staying in that little booth for, you know, 4 to 6 hours a day, and then, you know, doing a sadhana and the other things I have to do, and then reading in the evenings. It's just blissful, but it's intense. It's very intense. So I thank you all for participating in this yajna, in this journey, this adventure. And Shri Briha Bhagavatamrita ki jai. Samaveda Bhakta Brinda ki jai. Gaur Premanandi. Hari Hari Bo. See you tomorrow night, same time, same place, same topic. The creme de la creme. De la creme de la creme de la creme. De la creme de la creme de la creme de la creme de la creme. Hare Krishna. See you tomorrow.